open, if we could, to Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, we're just going to read one verse here for the morning, although you'll be needing your Bibles here some more, but Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, once again we come to you here this morning grateful for the privileges you've given us, the freedoms, the liberties. We think about all the soldiers through the times of our independence as a nation that have fought and warred in carnal terms, Lord, have given their lives, many of them, sometimes their limbs, Father, to help make us free. We pray, Father, you'll help us to always remember these things and remember these men and women. I ask as well, Father, that you'll bless the guys and the ladies as well that are overseas now fighting wars. In the meantime, Lord, we have a battle to fight here. We have a battle that wars in our members, we mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Ask you, Father, that you might shed some light on some things here this morning, maybe that someone's confused about regarding, as a Christian perhaps, but also, Father, for lost men as well, lost men and women, they might receive some understanding and something they need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the text this morning is Proverbs 28:5. It says something very simple there. It says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, evil men understand not judgment. That's a very simple statement. I rather imagine you couldn't get more clear than what that verse says. I dare say as well that it's kind of hard to imagine that a truer statement could be said today about 21st century America and this world we live in. Folks, I'll tell you this right now. You look around, men do not understand judgment, right? Says there that evil men understand not judgment. Let me put it to you this way. Think about this. If God decided to judge a nation, if God decided to judge a people, what would you, from the Bible, probably expect to see some of? I have some suggestions from the Word of God. You'd probably see plagues, drought, famine, right? You'd probably see disease at some level or another. You'd probably see natural disasters. You would see fire, wind, water, flood, perhaps earthquake, perhaps tsunamis or whatever else. If we go to the Bible again, we saw how the Lord judged Egypt and destroyed their economy back in Genesis, amen? We see how sometimes the Lord used war to judge nations. Sometimes God judges their cities by knocking parts of those cities down. Sometimes the Lord judges nations by judging their idols. Don't know if you noticed or not, but we now have two professional sports in America whose players are locked out. Just a thought. You might also find that when God decides to judge a nation, that He puts over that nation wicked leaders. Now, when I mention these things, for the most part, for the average American in his living room watching CNN, there is a complete disconnect from all that. They have no concept that God might be judging their nation. Evil men understand not judgment. Now think about this on personal terms. If God decided to judge a man or woman, what might you expect to see in that man or woman from the Word of God? What might those symptoms be? Well, among other things, you could mention God might deal with that man through his health, through his job, through his career, through his money. He might judge that man through his family, maybe via his wife or his children. He might thwart that man's plans. He might spoil that man's dreams. He may put that man in despair and guilt and hopelessness. Perhaps depression, they would call it today. Maybe that man would reap and realize he was reaping for things he had sown in his past. Perhaps that guy would be completely disappointed in bitter disappointment and go off into sorrow and discouragement and depression. And again, I just want to say to start with that any of those things can happen in somebody's life without it necessarily being the awful judgment of God. But at the same time, you look at the friends that you know of people in this world, I think you'll easily see that evil men understand not judgment and basically turn a blind eye to it. Amen? I want to talk to you this morning about that. There are some things that men do not understand about judgment. First of all, they do not understand God's judgment. But secondly, they also do not understand the necessity of man's judgment as well. For instance, the average person thinks that one of the marks of Christianity is that a Christian can't judge. I want you to know that's completely wrong from the Word of God. I'll talk more about that in just a little while. But the other thing that you'll take note of in the verse, besides the fact that men not only do not understand God's judgment, they don't understand the necessity for man's judgment either. Notice this as well. 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Men don't understand the idea that what you ultimately pursue in life actually reflects on your state of mind. It says there in that verse, it says that they that seek the Lord understand all things. The vice versa may be true as well. Your state of mind may well reflect that issue that you ultimately pursue in your life. Your calling in life, ladies and gentlemen, is to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near, right? Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why? Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, today men are confounded, confused, and despair so often because they go off into judgment but have no concept of how this reflects in their lives and where it came from. One last thing to say here is perhaps when you read verse 5, which says, evil men understand not judgment, perhaps you are concerned by the idea of what an evil man is. You say, well, I'm not evil, so God wouldn't judge me. I got news for you. They've all gone back. They've all together become filthy. I'll tell you something we all labor with, whether you're a Christian or not. We all labor with evil in our lives. The Bible says in Genesis, the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually, and that it was evil from his youth. So not only do evil, wicked, lost men not understand judgment, I dare say that in modern America, that for the most part, many times, Christians don't understand judgment either. So I'd like to preach to you for a while this morning on what the evil, understanding that I am evil, basically in my heart, unless I give way to Jesus Christ, what the evil don't understand about judgment. All right? What the evil do not understand about judgment. Evil men understand not judgment. What don't they understand? Well, first of all, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I hope this clears something up for perhaps somebody that's lost and needs to be saved, never been born again, or perhaps even some of us Christians who have bought into modern radio Christianity where it's all soft and feel good and things go well all the time for all that know Christ. That is just not the case. First of all, what do they not understand about judgment? First of all, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Notice verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I'd like to say, first of all, the first thing that men do not understand about judgment, they do not understand the timing of execution. All right? It goes like this, folks. Most of us here probably have a pretty good concept of what happens when you touch a red-hot stove. Okay? I mean, one thing about that, that is immediate, right? You feel pain instantaneously. You put your hand on a red hot stove, got news for you, you won't do it again the next 5 minutes, right? You learn your lesson pretty quick in that matter, and a second lesson is not needed. Nobody ever touches a red hot stove, and then 5 seconds later goes, what is that? How did that get there? Nobody does that because you know exactly what happened. When you touched the stove, you blistered your hand. Folks, I would to God that the judgment of God was like that in a way. Tell you what, if God's judgment on things was like that, every one of our lives would be transformed completely. Because think about this. What if God judged you immediately and He did whatever judgment He had according to how much He hated whatever you did? Whether it be your thoughts or whatever else. Imagine just going through the day knowing that the next thing that you did wrong, according to how God hated it, you were going to get burned real bad. All right? And think about it being then immediate, not just that it would wait for 5 minutes after you did it, but that if He would do that immediately, once again, every one of our lives would be transformed by this. We would not live the same way that we live moment by moment today, right? Now, folks, I want you to know that what evil men do not understand about judgment is the timing of its execution. And what I mean by that is that God very seldom judges a man the instant that he does something. It's very seldom like that. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore are the hearts of the sons of men fully set in them to do evil. Why doesn't God body slam you, hit you upside the head with a 2x4 immediately when you do wrong? Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? Well, I only have one explanation. Two. First of all, God can do whatever He wants to the way He wants to, right? But I think about it this way. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. In other words, when I've lived 1,000 years, God's been through one day of His. This is very convenient prophetically and all that, but think about it personally. 1/10 of 1,000 years is 100 years. I doubt very seriously many of us will live to be 100 years old, right? But if we did live to be 100 years old, we would live to be 1/10 of 1,000. Well, that would be one of the Lord's days. 1/10 of the Lord's 24 hours would be 2.4 hours. So, well over one generation of mankind only expends 2.4 hours of God's day. Now think about this. Not only 1/10 of 1,000, but 1/10 of 100. 10 years flies pretty fast when you get to be my age because I'm old and decrepit. I remember just like yesterday back in the 60s. Anyway, 10 years can go pretty fast, but for the most part, we think of 10-year increments as being far apart. For instance, if you worked today and didn't get paid for 10 years, you would gripe. Man, would you gripe. Amen? So let's just say you do something wrong today and God doesn't cause you to reap that for 10 years. Well, that's 1/10 of 1,000 is 100. 1/10 of 100 is 10 years. 1/10 of God's day is 2.4 hours. 1/10 of 2.4 hours is 1/4 of an hour, 0.25 hours. So in other words, 10 of your years is essentially 1/4 hour for God. Now, I don't know about you. Did your mother ever say, you go to your room and boy, when your dad gets home, you're going to get it. I bet you waited for more than 1/4 hour sometimes for that to happen, right? I bet you might have waited 2 hours for your dad to come home and spank you, right? My point is, ladies and gentlemen, one reason that men don't understand judgment is because God works on a time frame entirely different from ours, and if He waits 10 years for you to reap a certain crop you've sown, that's only 1/4 hour for Him, right? Now, folks, what this sets up, by the way, and very seldom do you instantaneously reap from God exactly what you did, but what this really sets up for me and you is that we oftentimes then dig this really, really deep hole for ourselves. After all, we can sow sin for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, before we even reap for the first thing we did wrong. You can sure run up a lot of money on a credit card, right? Sure takes a long time to pay off what you ran up real quick, right? Well, same way it is with the Lord, folks. Sometimes men begin sinning young, don't reap for that sin till they're middle-aged or whatever, and guess what? What that sets up is a disconnect between, well, you know, I don't remember what I'm getting punished for, so what I'm getting punished for by the Lord today happened 15 years ago. So there's a disconnect. It sets you up, ladies and gentlemen, to misunderstand judgment. Because there's a gap between what you did and when you get judged for it. If you're not careful, you miss it entirely, right? You need to walk with God that entire time, or you might wind up completely deceived. The evil understand not judgment. By the way, more and more, neither do saved people understand judgment. Okay? What do they not understand? They do not understand the timing of its execution. They don't understand that God sometimes waits, sometimes 10 years before you reap what you sowed. But it's not a long time. It's a long time to you. It's a quarter hour to God. Right? Notice something else. Look in Proverbs 2. Back to Proverbs chapter 2. I read that verse the other day. Evil men understand not judgment. And I got thinking, what is it that an evil man does not understand about judgment? And by the same token, what is it that Christians today don't even understand about it? And I came up with some answers. Look in Proverbs chapter 2 and go down to verse 8 where it says, speaking of the Lord, it says, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Now, this all started back in chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand, which is what an evil man lacks understanding in, right? Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I want to say, down in verse 8, it says, He keepeth the paths of judgment. I want you to see there, folks, that one thing that evil men do not understand, I dare say that for most part, for evil men, the average guy in Coon Rapids, Minnesota, has not the foggiest idea how the judgment of God works. He wouldn't know the judgment of God if it walked up and kicked him right in the knee, right? He is completely bumfuzzled by the idea. And the reason why he doesn't know is because he doesn't know the Word of God. Because the fact is, the Word of God dictates God's judgment. An evil man does not understand judgment because he doesn't understand the Word of God. The Word of God dictates judgment. Judgment happens according to the Word of God. Now, you know, folks, we guys are famous for not following the instructions when we put something together or not stopping for directions, right, ladies? The first garage door opener I ever put up was in my house down in Coon Rapids. And I tore into that little bag of screws and stuff, and there were screws everywhere. I stood there looking at that thing and said, you know what? I got sense enough at this juncture to know that I'm going to have to read those directions line by line to figure this thing out, right? And I tried one time to put together a barbecue grill without the directions because I lost them temporarily. Didn't work real good. Say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I tell you what. If you try to put together a barbecue grill and instead build a rocket, what just happened when you lit off that rocket was a judgment. It was a judgment that you didn't do it right. When Brother Steve does some wiring at my house and I turn on the switch and it doesn't turn anything on, I know that's a judgment on him. He didn't do it right. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I'll tell you this, folks. There's a lot of things in this life that folks go about doing without any instructions whatsoever. People these days think they can be married, have a family, be a good friend, be a good mom, be a good dad, without ever reading any instructions anywhere. I got news for you. You can't do it. You're going to wind up judged. You're going to wind up judged because you did it wrong. Your family is going to fall apart because you did it wrong. You didn't follow the directions. Maybe you didn't know there were any directions, but you did it wrong, and your family falls apart as a judgment upon the fact that you had no idea what you were doing. There are folks that raise kids these days, and they think they know how to raise kids because, after all, I grew up and look at me. And they quickly learn that it's not as easy as they think, and they're quickly put in a situation where they're called to make some judgments and some, you know, some decisions they're completely unprepared for because they've never been prepared for it. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is that the judgments of God are dictated by the Word of God. God judges things according to His Word. He judges sinners according to His Word. He deals with Christians according to His Word. The Bible says that the Lord loves me and chastens me as a Christian because He loves me. In that regard, He judges my actions and my behavior and judges me accordingly. Okay, that is according to His Word. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is that there actually is a right way to do things. Just as there's a right way to program a video cassette recorder, if those even exist any longer, I wouldn't know. But if there's a right way to actually program one of those things, it's written down in instructions somewhere. I got news for you. There's a way to go through life, and you can get through life not without trouble, not without trial, but you can get through life at least following the directions and understanding what the judgments of God and of man are about, because they are dictated in His Word. Now notice something else along these lines. By the way, chapter 2, verse 8, I'll just touch this in passing. I intended to make it more of an idea, expand on it a little bit, but I'll let you pass for this for the moment. Proverbs 2, 8, notice, He keepeth the paths of judgment. It is God that makes sure and guards those paths of judgment. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the judgments of God are right. We are supposed to keep those judgments. God keeps the way of judgment. Okay, notice something else. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. First of all, evil men, I'm including the evil hearts of saints as well in that. Evil men understand not judgment. They do not understand the timing of its execution. They do not understand that it's dictated by His Word. Notice Proverbs chapter 8, and notice down in verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now, if you go back, you will find out that the person that's speaking, I lead, is actually wisdom. Notice down in verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Notice verse 14. I am understanding. I have strength. Verse 20, I lead. So wisdom leads. Okay, got news for you. That's the wisdom of God. If the wisdom of God leads you, they got news for you. God's leading you. Right? So, thirdly, we can say this. The judgments of God. Judgment is how the Lord leads man. Judgment is how the Lord leads man. Now, I know it's a very popular idea these days that Christians are not supposed to judge. And I'll tell you this right here, right now. Yes, you are. That is a fable put forth by modern Christianity. It's a fable that's put out all the time on Christian radio. I'm telling you this right now. A Christian has to judge. A Christian is called to judge. I want you to know that judgment is how the Lord leads man. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Right in the middle of the path is judgment. Right in the middle of the path of judgment is where God leads. God puts you in the middle of the road in the path of judgment and says, walk in that judgment. That judgment, furthermore, in verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness. You know the path of judgment by judging what is right and what is wrong. Righteous judgment is how God leads man. Folks, if you know what God said, you do not need a fleece. If you know what God said about adultery, you don't need to pray about whether you should marry an adulterer, whether you should commit adultery. I read that folks pray about all kinds of weird stuff. Folks pray about whether they should commit fornication. You have no need to pray for that. Folks pray about whether they should drink or not. I'm talking about drink booze or not. There is no regard, there is no need whatsoever to pray about that. If you have a weakness, pray for strength, but don't pray about whether you should or shouldn't. Look, God said what is right, what is wrong. He called you to judge whether it's right or whether it's wrong. If you judge it right and follow what's right, the wisdom of God has led you. You have been led in the righteous paths of judgment. That is how the Lord leads man. A man absolutely has to judge what is right and what is wrong. Ladies, young ladies, don't pray about whether you should marry a lost guy. Young man, don't pray about whether you should marry a lost girl. It's wrong to do so. There's nothing to pray about, right? There's no reason for you to pray about whether you should drink or not, whether you should smoke or not. There's nothing to pray about. It's wrong, don't do it. If it's right, do it. If you've done it and you've judged it's right, and the Bible says it's right, then it's right, and you've been led by God to do so. Boy, that's simple. You know, I preached that wedding here the other day, John and Laura's wedding. That text was in Hosea 2. It said that I, God, have betrothed you to me in righteousness and in judgment. Boy, when I got to that judgment part and it said that God betrothed us to Him in judgment and that God requires us to judge, boy, I got some weird looks. There are some folks that went, you know those puppies, you know how a puppy does? There were entire sections of our congregation that day that went like that. Ladies and gentlemen, that is how God leads man. He leads man in judgment, in righteous judgment. You are called to judge what's right and what's wrong according to the Word of God. If you do right according to the Word of God, you've been led by God. But evil men understand not judgment. And by the way, that is why Satan is trying to destroy judgment before Christians. Because he doesn't want you led by God. Because if he doesn't lead you, you're like a sheep without a shepherd, and the wolf can get you then. If you give up judgment, you've given up one of the great inheritances that God's given you. You've given up something that you need more than you need anything else day by day. You need judgment. You need the judgment of God. You've been given the mandate to judge right and wrong. That is how God leads men. Notice something else. Look in Proverbs 21. What evil men do not understand about judgment, they don't understand the timing of its execution. The idea that what I do today may not be judged before the Lord in reaping for years from now. Maybe months, but perhaps years from now. They do not understand that judgment is dictated by the Word of God. They do not understand how the Lord, that is how, rather, the Lord leads man. Furthermore, Proverbs 21, notice verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. I would like to say they do not understand that it is pleasing and acceptable to God for you to do judgment. It says there, it is more acceptable to the Lord than to sacrifice. To do judgment and justice is more acceptable than to sacrifice. Now listen, I've mentioned it a couple times beforehand here. This contradicts the whole idea of what folks think Christianity is all about. I got news for you. A Christian must judge. Now there are stipulations, there are boundaries. First of all, judge not that you be not judged, right? Matthew 7. The verse that every drunk in town knows. Every adulterer in town knows, judge not that you be not judged. Got news for you. It says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And here's the deal. Don't go and try to pick the mote, the speck out of your brother's eye when you've got a beam in your own. First of all, you go cast the beam out of your own eye, then you go help your brother pick the mote out of his. In other words, the lesson is not to not judge. The lesson is to judge righteous judgment. The lesson is you judge your sins first and then go help somebody else. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, take care of your own sins first. We'll grant that. We'll grant furthermore that John chapter 7, verse 24 says, we are not to judge after the appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. We are to judge according to the Word of God, and we are to judge understanding that we don't have a gavel. We're not the judge that says, okay, bam, bam, you're going to go to hell right now, or this, that, or the other. It's not our job to throw rocks. It is our job to testify. It is our job to witness. It is our job to say what's so. Right? That understood, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that judgment is pleasing to God in a Christian's life. How can you possibly go through life thinking that you're not supposed to judge? How are you supposed to judge who you'll marry? How are you supposed to judge? What are you going to do? I mean, as far as I know, the Bible doesn't tell you what money to spend at Walmart. How many went to Walmart in the last month? Did you find a Bible verse that told you what to spend at Walmart? No. What did you do? You used your judgment. You got kids? Everything about kids is covered in the Bible, right? Every single thing. I mean, how long should you leave them in a dirty diaper? That's covered right there in Zephaniah something or other. It's in there somewhere. It's in the Hebrew. Now, the fact of the matter is, folks, that you're called upon. You cannot get through life without judging certain things. It is all according to the Word of God in the sense that God lays down precepts and principles. The point, ladies and gentlemen, is that your judgment, righteous judgment, biblical judgment, preceptual judgment, principled judgment of right and wrong is pleasing before God. You cannot possibly get along through life without judging. If you don't judge a yellow light from a green light, you have a problem, right? I will never forget. It's a long story, but we were due to go somewhere in kind of a bad part of town one night, and I didn't have too much peace about it as far as going down there and getting involved with the crowd that we were going to. And it's a long story. It's a basketball deal. Bottom line, as I called the guy up, and this guy was I knew the guy. He was combative and just liked to argue. And so I did this on purpose. I said, sorry we can't be down there tonight, Derry. I just judged that it's probably not best for us to go there. And I used the word judge on purpose because I knew it would send him over the edge. Sure enough, I got this nasty letter back. You said you judged. Yes, you did. You judge. You're not a Christian. Rah, 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 rah. Now, the funny thing about that, if I had said, you know, I discern that to take my family down there tonight might put them in danger. I discern it or I assess it that way. If I had said that instead of judge, he probably wouldn't have gotten mad. But if you use judge or discriminate in your language these days, you're going to get it in the neck. Do you know why? Because the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Okay? And the idea is if you use certain language, that's fine to say it that way. But I want you to know, judgment is a righteous thing. You can call it something else. You can call it an assessment. You can call it prudence. You can call it discretion. That would be true enough. But I tell you this, God called you to judge, and it is pleasing to Him that you judge right from wrong. And sometimes that involves making judgments about people. Anybody here ever raised teenagers? I've raised two to adulthood. I've got one well on the way. We're going to kick Anna out next week. But there were times my boys wanted to go hang out with somebody, and guess what? I made a judgment. You say, what did you do? I judged their friends. I said, that guy's a punk, and you're not going to go play with him. Right? You say, oh, that's wrong. No, that's right. You're called to make that kind of judgment. Gentlemen, one of these days your sweet little daughter's going to grow up, and one of these days some weird-looking thing is going to knock on your door. Want to take your daughter to go eat ice cream, or that's what he says he's going to do anyway. His pants are going to be down to here, and 18 inches of boxer shorts showing off the top. And he's going to walk in and go, hey, dude, can I take Anna down to use my ice cream? No, you moron. I judge you're a punk, and no, you ain't taking my daughter anywhere. Right? Say, what's the point, brother? Look, you can't get through life without judging. I want you to know that kind of judgment is a righteous thing, and I want you to know it is pleasing to God. The wicked understand not judgment. Evil men understand not that kind of judgment. Look in, furthermore, it goes a little deeper than that. Look in Proverbs 21 again. Proverbs chapter 21, and notice it doesn't stop there. In fact, this sermon's never going to end. It's just going to go on and on and on. There are 3,000 verses on judgment in the Bible. I've got to cover them all today. Proverbs 21:3 again. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Notice verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Verse 15. It is a joy to the just to do judgment. I want you to know that judgment is something to be done. Okay? It is not just an opinion. It is not just a prejudice. It is not just some idea you hold in your mind. The fact of the matter is that just judgment is to be done. Once in a while you get up and you talk to somebody on the street or whatever and talk to somebody, say, about the sin of adultery, and he goes, oh man, you're judging me. Actually, no, I'm not. If I were to judge you, I'm to do judgment. Now, to do judgment with regard to, say, adultery, here's what I'm called to do. I'm called to reprove and rebuke adultery. I'm then called to separate myself from the person committing it habitually. In fact, I am not even supposed to sit down and eat with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. You know what that is? That's doing judgment. It's not just about holding an opinion. Oh, adultery's wrong. The preacher says adultery's wrong. Amen! It's not like that. There's something to be done, actually, about adultery in somebody that's habitually committing adultery. You're to reprove them. You're to separate yourself from them. In fact, you're not even supposed to eat with them. You do judgment. If you believe that booze is wrong, then you can't take the job with Budweiser. It's not just an opinion you hold. Oh, yeah, well, I work for Budweiser, but I don't drink, and I don't think it's right, but I work for them. You can't do that. You're called to do judgment. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord's talking about Abraham. He says, listen, I know that Abraham will rule his family and do judgment. Did you know it said about Noah? It said that Noah moved with fear to the saving of his house and built an ark. And so doing, he condemned the world. You know why? Because he put feet to his thoughts. He judged, but he did judgment. You understand? I mean, these days, folks, Christians are famous for holding these sanctified judgments in their hearts. A preacher says the right stuff. Oh yeah, amen, amen, amen. But then you do nothing. I mean, you believe in soul winning. Amen. You believe in street preaching. Amen. You believe in trying to win the lost to Christ. Yes. And then you don't do it. Okay? That's not judging. You're supposed to do judgment. If your church is corrupt and kept you in darkness for years and years before you got saved, well, judge it and get out. But do judgment. Don't just sit there and go, well, I don't believe this is right. But I'm here to work and change from within. No, do judgment. Get up and get out. And yeah, I got news for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins. How many of you believe that? Who wouldn't raise their hand right? Christ died for your sins, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I mean, He came and loved you and died for your sins. Everybody believes that. Almost everybody does. No question. Okay, I got news for you. You're called to judge that. And there's an action that follows it. It's not sufficient to fall back on your religion and go, I agree with what the Lutheran Church says. I agree. I'm leaning on my religion. You're called to do judgment. Pilate stood in Pilate's hall that day and condemned Jesus Christ in spite of what he believed. I want you to know that you're called to judge Jesus Christ's work for you on the cross when he was buried, rose again the third day, and you're called to do something about it. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right? You're called to do judgment. I'm not talking about good works. I am talking about you have to put action to what you say you believe and what your judgments are. A judgment is not just an opinion. Look at something else here real quick. Proverbs 21. I'll be done in 6 or 8 hours. Proverbs 21, verse 7. Notice, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Evil men understand not judgment. What do they not understand? They do not understand that the refusal to judge is self-destructive. Okay? It says there in that verse, it says, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. It's self-destructive. To not judge is self-destructive. Most of you know, Marcy and I just passed our 25th wedding anniversary, and you know, we've been through things together and all that. I think of all the things that have confronted us, you know, through the years. We've not had any profound marriage problems or anything like that, but I think of all the things that have arisen through time. Excuse me. In our marriage, the financial issues that we faced, you know, moving here and there and, you know, the house and the ministry and all those sort of things. I think about the fact that we've raised 4 kids. Again, 2 to adulthood now. 1 almost there. And 1 a little bit further away from it. And I think about all the crises that came up through those years with those first 2 boys. And sometimes it seems like, folks, when you enter the teenage years, it's just one little crisis after the next. It just goes on and on and up, just day after day after day. I think of all the things that we faced in the ministry and church, people issues, issues, sin issues. And I think of all the times that we could have sat and done nothing. Judged nothing. Seth wants to go run around with a bunch of hooligans. Or Daniel wants to go smoke some dope somewhere. And well, didn't happen, right? But, I sit and do nothing. I think of some problems that have arisen in church through years. I'm talking about 24 years now. And the times that we've proactively stepped up and said, stop! And judge something, set ourselves in the midst of it to try to fix things. I think what might have happened to have done nothing, you know what would have happened? Fireball, right? 1, because verse 7, the robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. Did you know, again, you are called to personally judge Jesus Christ's work for you on the cross. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you refuse, as Pilate, to actually judge and make a pronouncement, if you just fall back on your religion and say, I don't have to deal with it. I'm a good Lutheran. I'm a good Baptist. I'm a good whatever. I got news for you. That is spiritual suicide. Because you're called on to judge. You're called to do judgment. You're called to act out of that judgment. You have to do something with Jesus Christ, personally. Jesus Christ, you cannot do anything with Jesus Christ corporately. There is no organization. There is no religion. There is no entity that administers or dispenses Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is administered person to person to person by the gospel. And the way you access the promises of the gospel is by faith. And that has to be done by your own judgment, in your own time, by your own self. And to defer and say, oh no, I'm a Methodist, is to commit spiritual suicide. You might as well put a gun in your mouth and pull the trigger, spiritually. Because that's what you're doing. When you refuse to make a decision, personally, by faith, for Jesus Christ, and be converted, you are committing spiritual suicide. One last thing to say. Look in Philippians, the one New Testament reference this morning. Philippians chapter 1. This is perhaps to grant a little bit of assurance to folks that have had their boat rocked this morning. Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, evil men understand not judgment. But you're supposed to. And you're supposed to judge. God's going to judge you. And I got news for you. God has called you to judge some things. And sometimes those things get awful close to people. And so, yes, there are times you have to judge people. But besides that, look in Philippians chapter 1. Notice verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, you know, there it says love. Love is that thing that most everybody agrees that Christianity is to be all about. I mean, God is love, and God so loved the world, right? And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So, Christianity is about, in most folks' mind, love, 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 love. And that's fine. Philippians 1:9, though, says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, judgment is the ground where good fruit is sown and grows. It says there that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Love abounds in judgment. You have to be able to judge right in order to be able to love right. You have to be able to judge, ladies and gentlemen, before you can love as a Christian. Got news for you. God commended His love to me. And that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, right? But I got news for you. God, I was condemned before God and understood my condemnation before God before I ever accessed the love of Jesus Christ. I was damned, I was condemned, and I was dead in my sins when Jesus Christ died for my sins. I had to hear the words of my God say, you're a damned and a dead sinner, but I sent my Son to die for you. And so, you know what I did? I judged myself. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, it is necessary for you to judge, folks. If you don't understand judgment, I got news for you. You don't understand love. If you don't understand that God judged you and condemned you as a sinner before He loved you in Christ and died for your sins, you don't understand what that love's about because you don't understand repercussions. I judged myself that I should not be judged. I accepted the fact that I was a dead sinner and that Jesus Christ had died for my sins to give me eternal life. And in so judging myself, now I don't have to be judged before God for my sins. It's a wonderful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, A judgment is the ground whence godly fruit springs. That's what all that is good and right in Christianity grows out of. You have to judge righteously. If you don't judge righteously, there is no righteousness. If you don't judge what's right and wrong, you won't do right. If you don't do right, then you've not judged right. And if you haven't judged right, you can't do right. Look, all I'm saying is that just like you'll put, potting soil down and some manure and fertilizer to make sure that your tomato plant grows, I want you to know that the love of Christianity cannot grow without proper judgment. Nor can righteousness properly grow without judgment. Because this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We are supposed to judge. We have to judge. If you won't judge yourself, you will be judged. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Ladies and gentlemen, evil men understand not judgment. And more, as time goes by, Christians are robbed from this matter as well. Nowadays, I dare say that many, many Christians do not understand judgment. I don't know how many of you are that way here today. I just know in the average church, if I went and preached this message, I dare say you would be sitting this morning in a tree full of owls where folks would have no idea what anybody's talking about because they've never heard about this ever before, because everybody understands these days, presumes these days, that a Christian is not supposed to judge. A Christian is supposed to judge. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we've discussed this morning some things that men do not understand about judgment. And Father, we've tried to stick with the Bible very closely here. I ask you to shed light on somebody's life in this matter. Lord, if there's somebody here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, never been born again, I pray you would help them to be willing to look at themselves in the light of the Bible and judge themselves honestly as God has judged them. Help them to see their need of a personal Savior. Help them to be able to come to Jesus Christ today, Father. If for those of us here, Lord, this morning that have been Christians for years, and there may be several, I pray, Father, that if anybody here has been robbed of some of their birthright, some of their commission as a Christian, help them to recover that today. Father, while we are not called to throw bricks or stones or put anybody in manacles or bang a judge's gavel, we are indeed called to judge right and wrong. We are indeed called to make decisions and assessments and discernments about things. Help us, Father, not to be negligent in these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 286. 286, I said earlier that if you were to look for judgment in a man's life, what would you look for from the Bible? Well, God will judge a man sometimes by his, according to his heart. He'll judge him by striking him perhaps in his family, in his wallet, in his money, his career, his dreams, his happiness, his guilt, his discouragement. Now, I wonder today if there's somebody here that maybe the reason that you're in the shape you're in is because you have not understood judgment. Number 286. If you need to come this morning, would you please come? 286. heads for just a moment here. One more time, let me encourage somebody here that's never been born again, never really been saved, never has turned in complete reliance upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe there's nobody even here like that. But of all the things that the lack of judgment robs you of, it's the idea that you need to be able to judge yourself. You need to be able to see yourself in the same light that God sees you. And it's not an insult to say that God sees you as a sinner. God sees you as dead in trespasses and sins. It's not any more of an insult than for a doctor to tell you that you have cancer or leukemia. It's a diagnosis. And you have to be able to look at yourself and know just how sick you are, just how bad you are, for you to be able to understand and judge yourself and judge the real value in what Jesus Christ did for you. Jesus Christ died for your sins to give you the gift of God, which is eternal life, for free. He did that for you. And it all swings and revolves around the idea that you must see yourself as God sees you. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you bow your head where you are? Close your eyes and bow your heart before God. And ask the Lord to save you from your sins by the promises of Jesus Christ. Take Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. Put all your reliance and all your sins on Him. Allow Him to carry your load. Father, I pray this morning that You'd make these things real to us all. And again, for Christians as well. You'd help us to see the manifold need for judgment. We know there's a balance. We know that there's a way to go too far in things. Give us wisdom in these things, Lord. But help us to exercise ourselves in these godly characteristics. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing the last stanza. All you guys being here this morning on a 4th of July weekend. Hope you'll come back tonight. We have services at 6. By the way, it's a different service than the morning service. That's been mistaken sometimes in the past by some, but we'll have another service tonight at 6. We hope to see you then. Have a good afternoon. Farewell.